Many of us thought that after the last challenge to the Affordable Care Act was defeated, it would finally just be accepted as the law of the land. President Trump said as much as his Republican cohorts in Congress failed to repeal it and failed to even craft a suitable template for a replacement. But that should have been all of our strongest indications that it was not going to be allowed to exist and that they would not simply seek to plug the holes and build on it. Donald Trump's words usually only carry the impact of a future assurance that the opposite will eventually happen. So when he announced that the ACA was the law of the land, we should have been expecting it to be challenged more severely. Well, that challenge is here, and it looks like it's going to be the most significant challenge to date, with a very high chance of having the entire law thrown out for being unconstitutional. In this episode of Lessons from the Screen, we will be looking at the current challenge to the Affordable Care Act.
Lessons from the screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious. And we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.
Welcome back to another episode of Lessons from the Screen, the show where we give you a review of whether or not any particular information that you can get from any particular screen of any particular kind is worth your time. We waste our time, our energy, and our brain power so that you don't have to. You're welcome. As always, we do it because we love you. Not really, but that's what I'm going to say. We waste our time so that you don't have to. Lessons from the Screen is sponsored by PAX Inc., a Black activist advocacy and think tank organization with the purpose of increasing the quality of life for Black people in America through education, a culture shift, and economics. You can check them out at www.pactsinc.org. That's pactsinc.org. Leave a review. Check out the Learning Center. Get involved. Tell a friend. Tell a friend. Become a member. Leave a donation. Do whatever you can to help them because they're doing whatever they can to help you. And without further ado, we bring to you this episode of Lessons from the Screen, where once again, we will be looking at the latest challenge to the Affordable Care Act. So even if you've been living under a rock, you should know what the Affordable Care Act is, provided you have been in America for the past 10 years or so, roughly. Now, you may not know it as the Affordable Care Act, but most everyone recognizes the term Obamacare when they hear it. The full name of the law is the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, the PPACA, and it was signed into law by President Obama in March of 2010, and it was a pretty big deal at the time as it was the largest overhaul to the American healthcare system in over 40 years, and it remains a pretty big deal even now, nearly 10 years after passage, because its opponents, much like the opponents of Roe v. Wade, seemingly have vowed not to rest until the law is thrown out. There were a lot of concerns with people being able to stay with the plans that they loved and the ability of the government to handle its new role in the healthcare industry, as well as the thought that premiums could rise with insurance companies being forced to insure people that would have been excluded previously. The often mentioned pre-existing conditions debate that currently continues to rage on. But the single biggest issue over time became the individual mandate. Now, the individual mandate was a section of the ACA that called for every adult American citizen to have health care or to pay a fine during tax time. Many conservatives and liberals alike didn't enjoy being forced into what is viewed as a private sector industry. But the individual mandate, as argued by supporters of the ACA, was the linchpin that made the law function, and it ensured that everyone had health insurance all the time and not simply when they needed it. If everyone has insurance all the time, then the insurance companies have enough money to support those unhealthy clients because they have income from the clients fortunate enough to have good health. If not for that individual mandate, the entire thing would collapse. Something that both sides seem to agree on. But for the remaining 6 years of Obama's presidency, after Republicans took control of the House of Representatives. More than 60 votes were held to defund, overturn, or block the entire law or pieces of it. Many of those votes successfully passed the House, where they were largely political messaging bills and symbolic gestures, because there was no chance the Democratic Senate was going to take any of those bills up, and they didn't. But these were not all blanket votes to stop the law from becoming active. There were attempts to block key pieces, remove funding and other resources for implementation, and to attach amendments to government spending bills, which are required to maintain a functioning government. There was a government shutdown over the law, and that energy has not dissipated over the years. If anything, with the election of Donald Trump in 2016, opponents of the ACA, much like opponents of abortion laws, were reinvigorated. But there was a block in the plan. President Trump ran on a platform with a lot of his Republican cohort that was focused on a repeal and replace policy. Now, they could easily repeal the ACA, but replacing it was an entirely different matter. And for months on end, they sat at the table trying to find a way to replace what had become the framework of America's healthcare system. They had spent years opposing the ACA, but it seemed like no one had put too much thought into making something that could actually replace it. Probably because they were more worried about scoring political points from opposing the ACA than they were about actually replacing it with something better. But after months of failure, President Trump decided to redirect his Republican Party to something more manageable: taxes. In December of 2017, a Republican Congress passed the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which was the largest change to the U.S. tax code in 30 years. Now, while we were all ranting and raving about how much of a giveaway the reform was to the wealthy and large corporations, the quiet byline was that the individual mandate had been reduced to zero, something that many people actually liked about the tax law, regardless of how they felt about everything else. This was important because, as mentioned earlier, the individual mandate was a hot point of contention. Many states took the federal government to court, asserting that the ACA was a violation of the Constitution and should be overturned based on the individual mandate requiring citizens to participate in a private sector industry. Those challenges were rejected, with the courts making the determination that the individual mandate was a tax, and Congress absolutely had the power under the Constitution to create new taxes. But with the penalty set to zero, it's not a penalty, and it's not a tax. 18 states backed by the Trump administration took the ACA back to court, asserting that if the individual mandate is not a tax, then it's unconstitutional. And since the heart of the ACA, the individual mandate, is unconstitutional, then the entirety of the ACA is unconstitutional. This is a position that was agreed to by Judge O'Connor in Texas, who ruled that all of the ACA was unconstitutional in December of 2018. Lawyers for the House of Representatives in some Democratic states stepped in to defend the ACA and appeal the decision, which leads us to the present. In early July, a three-judge panel of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals held a hearing in Texas v. United States. But instead of this push being rejected for things like severability, the ability of a law to stand even though a piece of it is removed, standing, in order to have standing to sue, you have to have been injured, or precedent, the court has rejected other challenges to the ACA that were a lot stronger legally speaking. This court seems to be leaning to the side of Judge O'Connor with the questions they were asking, leading many to believe that this may very well go to the Supreme Court. And with the Supreme Court being as conservative as it is, many believe that we could be looking at the end of the ACA. So what are we facing here? Well, in order to understand what we're facing, we have to understand what we've gained. So with the passage of the ACA, there have been a number of, we're always talking about Black Americans in this show, there's been a number of the percentage points of Black Americans that are insured has increased dramatically. And when I say dramatically, I don't mean like 50% or anything like that, but it's been a significant increase, roughly 8 to 9% increase in black people being covered. There have also been various other indicators that suggest that under the ACA, especially in the years prior to Donald Trump's elections, the healthcare disparities between whites and blacks were closing, primarily because black people were finally starting to go to the hospital. Now, there's a lot more that's at play when it comes to black people going to the hospital than just insurance. Obviously, black people have a very negative history with the healthcare industry here in America, and that is also at work. There's a trust issue that's also at work, and as a community, we've kind of developed our own remedies and methods for treating ourselves in that gap with that lack of trust with the hospitals, and many of us still rely on those methods versus going to the hospital and getting more modern, or some people say Western, methods of medication and healthcare. And a lot of that is also stemmed from this lack of trust. So that is at place in play, and that can't be negated. But it also can't be overlooked that a large chunk of black people were not seeking medical help because they did not have insurance and could not afford to get medical help. And so the ACA stepped in, and it provided a pathway for those people to get insurance and to be able to go to the hospital. And due to that, we were beginning to see a increase in the amount of black people that had health insurance. Like I said before, it was roughly a 9-10% increase. And we had begun to see a shrinking in the disparity, the medical or the health disparities between white people and black people, the healthcare disparities. So with that being said, what we stand to lose from that is something that we've already been losing, even though the ACA has not been overturned. Since Donald Trump has come into office since he was elected in 2016, there have been a number of changes to the ACA that have made it more difficult for people to qualify or to be eligible for the ACA. There have been changes that have reduced the enrollment period. There have been things, laws, regulations, and things of that nature that have been passed that have defunded outreach efforts and defunded educational efforts about the ACA and about how to get involved in all of that, about how it works. There have been a number of changes to the way the ACA works, the way it's implemented. There have been new policies that have been enrolled or that have been rolled out that compete with ACA marketplace plans. There has been, with the negation of the requirement to have coverage, that individual mandate piece that I spoke of earlier, with that being removed, there has also been a reduction or a reduced urgency to have health care. We have to talk about and understand the impact of that when we're talking about how this model works, how this model plays out. So there have been a number of things that have happened over the last 2 years that have already saw the gains that black people made in terms of being insured and having access to quality health care be reversed. We're not talking about slow, we're not talking about stop, we're talking about reversed. Last year was the first year since the ACA rolled out that the uninsured rate increased. It increased by 0.5% for black people. And that is going in the wrong direction. So what we have to lose with the repeal of the ACA, especially with nothing to replace it, and it doesn't seem like there is anything to replace it, no one's considering that right now. We have to consider that millions of black people are going to lose access to healthcare. And our health already being as bad as it is on a communal level, we have to consider the long-term repercussions of that, the damaging impact of that. We also have to consider the impact that that would have on potential black doctors and black healthcare professionals who want to provide a service for the community, but who also want to eat. And so they're going to be dealing with a community that doesn't necessarily have the resources to pay for their services in cash. So that means they're either going to be working pro bono, because we all, you know, we're under the assumption that this thing is going to get thrown out, which means that there's going to be a large group of black people that don't have health insurance. So in order to work with those people, you're either going to have to work pro bono or you're going to have to work pro bono. Now, you can raise prices on your other clients, so you can do various other things to fill the gap, but it doesn't change the fact that it puts those medical professionals in a very difficult situation as well, in terms of fulfilling their need to live by eating food and having a roof over their head and things like that, and servicing the community that they want to service, and also having time to enjoy life. So we have to not only consider the impact on our health, but we have to consider the impact on healthcare providers that want to help us, and we want those people to be black people. We have to consider the impact on us psychologically and how we're going to be piecing those things together. Are we going to fall all the way back into the old ways? And there's nothing wrong with the old ways in certain instances, but in a lot of instances, a lot of the diseases and the ailments that weren't treatable back then and aren't treatable now, even in the old home remedies, are very treatable in a hospital with modern medicine. So, you know, you kind of got to understand how to balance the two. You know, you can use various different home remedies for some things, but for other things, you need to take your ass to a hospital. There ain't no other way to say it. So we have to consider all of this when we start talking about the impact of this. And it's not good. It's not a good outlook for us whatsoever. This is one of the things I feel like we need to be aware of. We need to be paying attention to, and we need to figure out a way to make our voices heard. But we also need to be creating a backup plan, some sort of fail safe, for if this thing does fall or is overturned or thrown out or whatever the case might be, we need to have something in place. And I say this every show, we need to have something in place to protect us from the eventuality of white people being white people. And that's basically what this boils down to. And if I have to explain what I mean by that, then you haven't been listening to the show very long. Go back and listen to some of the other shows. But with that being said, let me know what you guys think about this. Where are we headed? What can we do? What should be done? Is this something that we should be concerned about? Is it something that we shouldn't be concerned about? Let me know what you think in the comments underneath this show. Wherever you listen to the show, although if you really want me to respond, you should go to the website, www.freedomtrainradio.com. Lessons from the Screen is the show. You should check it out. If you really want me to respond to your comments, you should leave them there. I have seen comments in some of the podcasting platforms out there. Look, there are a million, I'm going to say this before we go. There are like a million different podcasting platforms out there, and this show is on all of them. I'm not hunting down your comments on every single specialty podcast app or whatever that you use to listen to the show. I'm not doing it. All right. You can feel however you want to feel about that. I'm not doing it. If you want me to respond to your comments, leave them on the Freedom Train website. That's what the website's there for, so that you have access to all of the shows and all of the podcast creators that release a podcast through the website, through the Freedom Train Network, and we have access to you. So we're not hunting you down. We're not going to check Google Music and then turn around and check iTunes and then turn around and check, you know, Spotify and then turn around and, you know, we're not checking all of these places for your comments. All right. I'm not anyways. I don't know what the other people are doing, but I'm not. So with that being said, again, let me know what you think. FreedomTrainRadio.com, Lessons from the Screen tab. This show will be in the current events section. Let me know what you think. Let me know how you feel. And let me know what you think of the show as well. And I will catch you next week on the next episode of Lessons from the Screen.
Lessons from the screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious.
And we're here to keep you from them
lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.
All right, I want to thank you guys once again for tuning in to Lessons from the Screen right here on the Freedom Train Network. Remember to go show the Freedom Train Network some love, www.freedomtrainradio.com, spelled just like it sounds. If you can't spell it, I don't know what to tell you. But make sure you also go ahead and check out the Freedom Train Radio app. If you got an Android, we got an app. And if you got an Android and your Android ain't got the app on it, then you ain't cool. And that's all I'm going to say about that. It's in the App Store. Search Freedom Train Radio. You'll see the logo, the Choo Choo Train, calling your name. So go ahead and get that there. Make sure you show all of the Freedom Train Radio network shows some love. Give them all a hug. Leave a comment on all of the shows that you like. And even the shows that you don't like, leave a comment still telling them you don't like them and you don't like they suck a fish fried eggs. And I also want to take more time to tell you guys to go and check out our sponsors, PAX Inc., PACTSINC.org, PAXINC.org. Show them some love. And drop a line on the Freedom Train website. Let us know what you like. Let us know what you don't like. Let us know what you want to hear. Let us know what shows you think we should try to put together for you. The number one, the world's first black, pro-black podcast directory right here. You know what it is. You know what it does. And we look forward to seeing you, hearing from you, speaking with you, and sharing life with you every week. I will see you next week. This is your boy, Patrick Irvin.